Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony out here. Beautiful sunshiny day. Am I wrong? Still not too oppressively hot, right?
No, today's not bad.
10 a.m., still getting it done. A lot of fans out here taking the morning to come out and watch their football team. Of course, tomorrow, the scrimmage inside EverBank, tomorrow evening, open to everybody. Come on in and check that out and get a good glimpse of what your Jags have on the table. They'll be, Tony, a week from today, they're opening up this preseason thing.
A week from today,
the Jags are going to be in full unis, helmets, and going after the New York Jets. So we'll get to all that coming up today. We'll speak with John Osier, Jeff Lagerman, among others. We'll hear from both coordinators of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Todd Wash on the defensive side, Greg Olsen on the offensive side. But we need to get it started before we do that, so let's do it. Jaguars Today starts right now.
Bortles fires to the middle of the field, caught by Allen Robinson. That's a first down. He hit A-Rob in the middle of the field inside the 20-yard line. Got it down to the 18-yard line. First down, Jacksonville.
And I can say it with confidence. That one takes Allen Robinson over 1,000 yards receiving. Congratulations, A-Rob.
Greenfield at the 28-yard line. Tries to run to his right, to the 35, to the 40. Rashad Green in the open field, in the Colts territory. Rashad Green up the right sideline, inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Rashad Green has extended the lead for the Jaguars.
Second down and 5, 2:30 to play. Under center is Bortles. Play fake. Blake running to the left now. Stays behind the line. Fires toward the end zone. One down. Hurns diving attempt. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Hurns a diving touchdown catch. This is a 53-yarder from the left hash. Jason Myers for the win. Carson Tinker snapped it. Brian Anger will hold it. The snap and holder good. He kicks it up. This kick is good. This kick is
wow.
Good. The Jaguars have beaten the Ravens on a 53-yard field goal from Jason Myers. Are you kidding me? Jags winning in Baltimore.
That's what this offseason for, to reset, get our mind right, because next year there really shouldn't be any excuse why we should be an AFC South Division champs.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at EverBank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday morning to you. You heard it from Ryan Davis right there, Tony. No excuses. Division champs. You know what? They should embrace that. Put a tangible goal out there. And I know that's probably the goal every year, but embrace talking about that. There's nothing wrong with that. I remember going back to I want to say 2005 it was, Donovan Darius guaranteeing the team was going to the playoffs this year. I don't care. That's it. I'll put my money where my mouth is. That was during training camp. And that really stood out to me, and they backed it up, and they went to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have put that out there concretely, that we're not going to be satisfied anything short of this. And really, probably no team is satisfied if their season doesn't end with a Super Bowl championship. But there's a level to go from a 5-win team. If you were to win 10 games this year, go to the postseason, maybe win a game, even if you didn't, what a major leap forward that would be. And that's got to be, like Ryan Davis said, no excuses acceptable. Let's get this thing done.
I'm with you, and it's kind of interesting you go back to that 05 team and Donovan Darius saying something like that. Darius was a veteran guy, you know, on a team that the defense looked like it was coming together. That D-line looked like it was going to be fierce going into that season. They were trying to figure out exactly what was going on with Leftwich at quarterback, that kind of thing. So they had a bunch of question marks going into the 2005 season, but it took a veteran guy like Donovan Darius to put, you know, that kind of guarantee out there. You look at this Jaguars team right now, and it's who's going to be that type of guy. I just don't see Puz Lesny being that type of personality that's going to come out and say something like that. I can totally see Darius doing it, and I wasn't surprised when he said it, you know, in 2005. I just don't know that they have a veteran guy on this team that can lead that kind of charge, which puts somebody in a young gun on this team in a spot where they have to be that kind of confident. And we'll see if anyone is willing to say anything.
Yeah,
like
I don't
that.
Know. Even if it's not such public proclamations about it, you know, they've got to really. I don't want to talk about improvement and measuring degrees of improvement. Measure that at the end of Sunday afternoon at 4:10 when you look up at the scoreboard. That's where you're going to measure your improvement this year for the Jags. Our question of the day to get us rolling on this Thursday morning, a week into training camp, is this. This kind of playing off, was it the D-Rock article he did on who the players would least like to fight on their own team, right? Well, I wouldn't want to fight any of them, okay?
No.
Pick the smallest guy out there, he's whipping my tail. So, we ask you this. Not who you want to fight or don't want to fight, but who is just, right now, when you look at this roster, who do you think is the most physically intimidating player? We've asked this from a historical standpoint before. Double D's got a lot of mention. Greg Jones got a lot of mention. Guys like Henderson and Stroud got a lot of mention. There are plenty of guys along the way. But who right now, when you think of the physical tone setter on this football team, who he's going to be in 2016, that's what we're looking for, the most physically intimidating player on the Jaguars. Tweet us up. At MD underscore 1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler as well. As I mentioned, we're going to have Johnny O stopping by from Jaguars.com and get his thoughts on how the week of practices have gone. Jeff Loggeman's going to pop in with us as well. We're less than 2 weeks away from Loggeman full-time on Tuesdays. A week from next Tuesday, I believe, is when we're going to kick that bad boy into gear. And as I mentioned, Todd Wash, Greg Olson, both meeting with the media, Wash before practice yesterday, Olson afterwards. You're going to hear those comments, and we'll talk about what they had to say as well. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in today when we have some time, but maybe the easiest way to do that is use that number on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, so send us your thoughts there as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, just getting underway. It's Jaguars Today live at the Florida Blue practice fields on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, what happened to Oh No's anyway around these parts?
Well, I think people would finally start saying, oh no.
Oh no. Oh yeah. No, it's John Osier once again.
And it sort of denigrated into just a, ugh.
Ugh.
Just, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Wow. Johnny O is here with us.
Oh,
we don't
yeah.
feel that way about him.
Oh yeah.
How about that? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Why haven't we thought of that before?
That's right.
Oh yeah. How are you?
Good.
Step into a Slim Jim.
Oh yeah.
We're deep into this thing.
It seems that way.
It's that time in camp where I was looking back over my story last night, and I wrote Thursday, Wednesday. I mean, I had Thursday and Wednesday in my story. I have no idea what day it is anymore.
Yeah, I don't lose track of the day necessarily. I lose track of who said what to me, right? We talked to all the different members of the media that cover the team, and I'm like, who said that to us, Tony?
Yeah, I have no idea right now if it's Wednesday or Thursday.
No pads today, John. It's been an exhausting 2 days in pads for these guys. So,
well, it's not really that it's exhausting to them in the sense that they're sitting there this morning going, oh, I couldn't go in pads if I had to. It's more, let's be smart and be preventative. I think, I'm not sure, I don't know that Alan Hearns is working today. This is a case where you don't want to wear guys out. It's more for next week and the following week and being smart over the course of time than it is. If you made these guys go in pads today, they could go out and work in pads. And
sure.
They wouldn't, you know, it's not that. It's let's be smart with a roster that we need to get the main guys through an entire season, not just this hot practice.
I enjoy being snarky, and that's how I present it.
And I get that it's perceived that way. But there really is for this team right now, you know, you don't right now, what's Dante going to show you today in padded workout that he hasn't shown you the last couple of days?
Sure.
I'm not saying he's ready. I'm not saying he's ready to be a star, but is he going to benefit more as he runs out, good foreshadowing, and is not going to work today? He's off with a planned day off.
Happy belated birthday.
And but you've got to balance how much he's going to get out of this practice to improve right now with, let's not be stupid with this guy. Let's not have him get hurt.
It's a modern NFL.
Right.
I mean, these guys get paid so much money, and they're so important. You look yesterday in Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott pulls a hamstring. I mean, he's like the centerpiece of all their plans on offense this year. And maybe he's only out for a couple of days, but that's the dread.
Right.
They won't even
consider
putting him back on the field for a week.
I would. Right. If I were them,
like,
no.
It's like you said, it's the way the NFL has changed. And honestly, I'm surprised it took as long as it did
for
the NFL to get to this point when it came to training camp. Practice.
Well, there's such a mentality, and it stems from generations of how the game was approached, and I get that. You hit, there's dust flying up, you've got mud in your face when you're going, you know, and in high school they do it that way, in college they do it, you know. So it just stems from that's the way football is, and you've had coaches who grew up that way. But over the course of time, it's just become a reality of, you know, no Jaguars fan wants to click on Jaguars.com tomorrow and have me write an Allen Robinson story that he's hurt.
No.
So that's what they did. The core guys, the starters, are such a key part of what you're doing. Blake and Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and T.J. Yeldon. You've got to keep – say they've got 13 or 14 core guys that we're thinking of that are must. You need to keep 11 or 12 of those guys healthy throughout the course of the season to have a shot in this league. I don't know what the exact number is here, but over,
I know what you're saying.
Theoretically in the sure. NFL, you know, I can remember years covering the Colts where Dwight Freeney gets hurt, and that's the little X factor that they thought kept them two or three rounds in the playoffs for. I mean, it can be that much of a margin. Lose a key guy. Once you start playing big games, those guys matter 3 or 4 points in the fourth quarter, and you're done. So they want to keep these guys healthy.
Well, you mentioned Allen Robinson in that, and I thought it was interesting to hear the way Greg Olsen described him yesterday after practice. What do you say? Playing mad, playing angry?
Right.
Right? And in that sense is that he's trying to use – he's a big guy. He said,
sure.
We want you to play like a big guy. You know, lean on people, intimidate people,
right.
Use everything you've got to your advantage, and that he's – wait, I tell you what, John, I don't see as much as you do, neither does Tony, but he looks like like he's on a mission right
well,
now.
Well, and again, that's where there's a little bit of the balance. You do want training camp for guys to sort – you know, I think this camp – I don't know if it's been important for Allen, but it's certainly confirmed to him, I think, that – hey, I can be dominant in this league. This is how I want to play. So now he's shown himself that. Now I really wouldn't mind them sort of pulling back on him and saying, okay, we get it. You're angry. That's fine. But let's...
take it out on Green Bay.
Yeah, let's do that. And it's a balance, of course. But getting back to your point about Allen, there's been so many stories early. Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Dante Fowler, Blake Bortles that we've concentrated on. But Allen Robinson's continued growth, I almost think of the Superman movie where he takes off the shirt and all of a sudden you see what this guy really is. He sort of looks like he's doing that in camp this year. I mean, this is a guy who, as good as he was last year, as many stats as he put up, you still didn't know if he was an elite-level long-term. Boy, the way he is right now, he looks like a core build-around guy who is a guy who truly is going to make a franchise better over time. Those guys are rare in the NFL. He's looking rare to me.
And he does give you a Clark Kent vibe when he's in street clothes, doesn't he? A little bit, right? He's kind of got that.
Well,
you know, no, I'm serious. You know, he's kind of like a studious guy,
sure.
You know, very smart guy, and that's all.
But he's got that look. And I'm not doing a very good job of putting it into words, but we've all sort of seen it. He's looking like there's good in this league. There's Pro Bowl good, and then there are guys that franchises say, this is why we're a playoff team. This is why we're long-term good. Allen's turned into one of those guys that if teams don't guard him, if teams don't game plan for him, they're going to lose games. And that's a different level. He hasn't shown that yet. I get that. But that's the feel and that's the look that you have of this guy right now.
Sticking with the offense a little bit, John, we've talked to you throughout the offseason about the need for this offense to take that next step through that consistency. They haven't been on the field playing anybody else yet,
right.
So we don't really know until they get on the field what kind of steps they've taken in that direction. But through a week of training camp, are you seeing signs or indications that kind of consistency could be on the way?
Yeah, in their event, we've written some minutia-type stories so far and covered camp in a minutia way so far. When I say we, everybody was covering it. Gus was mad on Tuesday, and he cut practice short. And then there's been some snaps on the ground. There's been all those little things that you don't like to see in camp. But overall, the offense, if you take it what it is right now and the number of sort of extended drives they put together and the times they can drive and consistently and the things that they know they can do, they know they can go to A-Rob in the red zone. Julius Thomas is starting to look like a guy that you know you can go to. Allen Hurns, you know what you have. They're so much further ahead than this time last year, and they're supposed to be. They had a regular season. I'm more confident, optimistic, sure, whatever those phrases are, about Blake Bortles after a week of practice than I was at the end of last season, because he's showing those consistent quarterback-type things. He looks more at ease checking down to T.J. Yeldon. I'm just kind of letting some plays that have happened come into your mind. He's throwing quicker outs with better decisions to a Brian Walters making a break, to an Allen Robinson making a break on an 8-yard pass. He looks so much more comfortable and sure of himself on those shorter efficiency-type passes that extend drives than he was last year. It's got to translate, but that's what you have to see from him. This offense can't be, let's throw it to A-Rob and have him win a 50-50 ball. That can't be all it is. At times last year, that really bailed them out. Blake looks more like a year three quarterback supposed to look early than I anticipated him looking. It's got to translate, but I think that's the best sign. All the Fowler, all the Ramsey, all the stuff we're talking about, that's the sign you got to see.
That's the most important guy on the team, and will be as long as he's a starter. And that's just the nature of the game these days. John Oger, Jaguars.com, here with us. You know, we ask pretty much everyone who sits down with us throughout the course of training camp, who's catching your eye, who's doing good things. Let's flip it around. We know Dante Fowler and Jalen Ramsey and Blake and Allen Robinson are catching people's eyes, but who's, I'm not saying worry, but who through the first week has been this kind of eh?
Well, Jokel hasn't looked at times as good as you had hoped. But he's also been Jokel. You know, he's had moments where he's looked really, really good, and then moments where it's been okay. And I'm going off pass rush drill, which is brutally hard to judge an offensive lineman on because it's all set up for the defense. I think the concern, this is going to be the second day in a row that Beecham hasn't worked. So I don't know how to judge how he's played because I haven't seen him in one-on-ones yet. But, you know, now with the second day in a row not going, at some point you want to see him plant, hit, do those offensive tackle things. I know Greg Olsen said they're not worried yet, and they're not worried yet. But you're probably in that stage where now people are going to start speculating about it, and you've got to see him play at some point. I don't know who else. You know, the right side, you know, the left side of the offensive line, until we see it, is going to be an issue that you're sort of lingering out there. I think Miles Jack sort of started as a guy who you didn't see a whole lot because he's playing second team. He sure looked faster yesterday. He sure looked more the part yesterday. So, overall, I got to be honest, I was driving home yesterday, and for the first time, I started thinking about Fowler, how he's looked. Started thinking about Ramsey, how he's looked. His defense might be better than I thought it was going to be this year.
You see that shot Fowler put on Josh Wells in one-on-one?
Well, yeah, yesterday? And we all get that right now he's not going against players who are as good as he's probably going to face.
Understood.
But the suddenness.
You've been out here, too,
I know.
And you've been to training camps, Tony. We've all been to training camps for years and years and years. Rarely in those one-on-one drills you see a guy almost get knocked on his back.
Right.
I mean, and Josh Wells doing a little cartwheel in the arms, I think, to stay upright on that one.
And I'm going to play devil's advocate and say, well, it's passion. You can't always tell everything out of it. At the same time, with Fowler especially, and I'm writing this today for Jaguars.com, now all of a sudden you're starting to see 4 or 5 days in a row where every day you see something like that. Well, after a while, you start thinking to yourself, when's the last time I saw 4 or 5 days in a row every day see something like that in training camp? Well, never. I mean, since I've been back. And so point being, you can't always tell off a single play in a practice, but over the course of time, when you start seeing a guy do athletically things that he's doing, you start realizing, okay, I saw it Tuesday, I saw it Wednesday, I saw it Thursday. Might mean I'm going to see it Friday, and this might be what the guy is.
It's the norm, yeah.
And that's, you know, I hate to gush because it's only the eighth day of training camp. What I'm writing tomorrow is this guy's got star potential, and unless something is really weird that we're seeing that's not going to translate, this kid's the real deal.
Real quick, John, before we let you go, were you surprised at all with Beecham getting the day off yesterday that Jokel was still running reps at left guard with him not there?
No, because he was also running reps at tackle. And I think right now it's just a case where, realistically, they know what he can do at tackle, meaning he's done it for 2 years. He's not learning tackle. If he's going to play guard, he still needs to get these reps. I mean, at some point, the reps have to come. So I think you stick to your game plan. You sort of know if he has to go play tackle, if he's the best tackle, he's going to be okay there. He knows what he's doing out there. It's the learning curve and the little things that he hasn't seen before, things that you want to learn in training camp, those are all left guard. So the more reps, the better at that point. I don't think that's really an indication of anything. I mean, I do think that if healthy, Beecham's probably going to be the left tackle. I don't think it's done yet, but I think you've got to have Jokel ready for guard, and I think that's what's going on with that.
All right, he is John Osier, Jaguars.com senior writer, and he's got a lot coming up, including that feature on Dante Fowler Jr. That
now the real 56 is coming on, right? I mean,
you know how excited I am right now?
The real I can
Jeff
Lockman
is sitting almost within arm's reach.
Well,
right
and
immediate left.
He's only out of arm's reach because he's a little worried about being within arm's reach.
Oh, he knows now. He knows to move that chair over as soon as he sits down. That's a good point. All right, Johnny, we appreciate it, man. And we'll be catching up with you, I'm sure, a bunch next week, too.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, John Osier on Twitter, of course, at John Osier, and you read him on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. Jeff Logman in the house, and we'll break down what he's seen through the first week of training camp. Coming up next, it's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you talking Jags training camp live at Jags training camp. So that's convenient. Don't forget our question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships is this. Who currently on this roster is the most physically intimidating player on the Jaguars? Who's the guy that is going to set the tone physically for them this year? As we've got Jeff Logman, who is right now, I'd say, Tony, as Frank Frenge has described, in the most physically intimidating presence in the broadcast booth on game day. Baselli's like a toothpick, and Frangie feels fat now compared to you guys. Loggy, what's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing good, but hey, Baselli still outweighs me by like 20-something pounds.
Yeah, because he's 15 feet tall.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so he
may outweigh
you. I was
just so used to seeing him looking like a mountain.
No, I know.
You know, now he looks like a little small hill.
He looks, right, he's like a speed bump if you turn him sideways is what he is. But who would you say right now projects to be the physical tone setter for this football team?
Well, I hope it's Chris Ivory. You know, because if Chris Ivory is a tone setter, the way he runs the football and the way he's shown that he can run the football with the New York Jets, it's going to take a lot of pressure off of this offense. It's going to take a lot of pressure off the quarterback in the passing game to take a next level step, you know, and to make it easier for them to do that. You know, so you hope that he's the guy on offense. And on defense, you know, it's got to be somebody that can impact the passing game. And if that's Dante Fowler and Ngakoue, Malik Jackson, whoever, it doesn't matter to me. It's just somebody that has to be able to impact the passing game because they were so poor in that category last year. Special teams-wise, they need a guy that can run down the field and make a big play. I don't know who that's going to be, you know, but I will say this. They're better in depth this year than they've been in a long time. And so you've got more guys that you could say, hey, he could be the guy. Because, you know, he's not competing for a starting role anymore. He's fighting for a roster spot. And he's a guy that could have an impact on special teams. And so you feel good about, you know, multiple guys being a core four guy. You know, whether it be the linebacker, 58, from Montana. What's his name?
Holmes?
No.
Jordan Tripp, yeah. I think Tony just said that.
Yeah,
Gus singled him out the other day.
Tyron Holmes, you know, and I said this kind of back after watching him on film from his college days at Montana. I think he's going to struggle a little bit. You know, he is very effective as a pass rusher. But, you know, he's got to be able to beat out guys like Ngakoue and Dante Fowler to end up getting reps at that position. He's a little stiff, but the one thing he can do is he can bend a corner when he pass rushes. But, you know, when you're talking about a guy who is borderline making it or not, he's got to be able to make a strong contribution on special teams. And being a little bit of a limited athlete, I think will hamper his chances for having a significant impact his rookie year.
The first week of training camp in the career of Dante Fowler Jr., as he missed all last season, obviously with the ACL injury. He reportedly had a great offseason all through OTAs, minicamp, and it seems like the first week of training camp he's picked it up from there.
He is an absolute freak. You know, I would compare him to, you know, in my, what am I, 49 now, you know, came in the league at 21, you know, so 28, 27 years, whatever you want to call it. In the National Football League, there's very few guys that you just sit there and you go, wow, Did God ever grace him with great physical talent? And he's one of those guys. You know, Tony Brackens is one of those guys. Tony Brackens, when he came in, the very first day that we were in pads and my first experience with Tony Brackens, when he hit me, I went, oh, my God. And I went to Clyde Simmons after the drill, and I said, hey, Clyde, tomorrow I want you to work, you know, the individual period matching up against Tony. I want you just to feel him. He said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not telling you anymore. Just tomorrow you got him. You know, today I had him. Tomorrow you take him, and then let me know what you think. And he came up to me the next day after individual period, and he said, oh, my God. He said, that kid is strong as a bull. And he was. And Dante Fowler has something special. He's strong. He's quick. He's got endurance through the anaerobic phase of football. And you see certain guys that have great explosion for two, three, four steps. Then when they have to stop and kind of maybe go a different direction, it slows down a little bit. Dante, it doesn't slow down. You know, he's able to generate, and this is one thing that I watched when he was in college at UF, is that he is able to develop a significant amount of power in a very short space. He's got pop. You know, some people would say he's got pop. And he's got quickness. He's got pop. He's got great energy. He's got great effort. You know, the one thing, though, that I want to see out of him is consistency and also maturity, because that's hard to gain at such a young age. You know, but you hope mentally he has the maturity to be able to be a great player, because that is such a requirement for guys to become great players, is a maturity level that's a little bit beyond their years.
Jalen Ramsey going through his first training camp as well and getting rave reviews from teammates, coaches, and media alike. And, look, it's his first training camp. It's only a weekend, but he plays, it seems like, with an incredible edge to his game. In fact, somebody came by yesterday, dropped us a note, said he was jawing at the refs during a training camp practice.
He was yesterday.
Right, that's exactly, yeah. Yesterday. And you want that, I think. You don't necessarily need a guy to jaw at the refs, but you want that.
It was a respectful jawing, though. I want to make sure I say that. I mean, it wasn't disrespectful in any way. It was a competitive jawing.
Exactly. He is an uber competitor, and he wears it proudly. You know, and you've got to have that mentality if you're going to be a team's top cornerback, don't you?
All you have to do is to watch the way he lines up. I mean, seriously, there's certain guys when they line up in their stance, and I said this a couple weeks ago, and it's just become more apparent the more you watch him. When he lines up and his feet are set at his position, whether he's at corner, whether he's at nickel, on the wide receiver, off, it doesn't matter. He never moves his stance. He knows that he's just got a supreme confidence, swagger, whatever you want to call it, that when he lines up, he knows he's going to. And it doesn't matter. He doesn't start to cheat. He reads everything. He doesn't guess. He's just confident in his abilities, physical abilities, to where he can dominate guys. And I love watching that. It's very uncommon for a guy to walk in the door as a rookie, and we're only 1 week in the training camp. And I want to say that about Dante and with Jalen Ramsey. But you just don't see that with a young player coming in 1 week in the training camp, and he's got an air about him that is supreme confidence, but it's supreme confidence and it's not arrogance. You know, he's confident because he knows he can do it, and he does do it. And that's the thing that I really like about Jalen Ramsey. And he's so freaking long. I mean, when he gets his hands on, I mean, A-Rob is having fits getting off of his jam, you know, watching him in practice. I mean, and A-Rob doesn't typically have any kind of issue whatsoever getting off of anybody's jam,
right,
because he's so long himself.
Right.
But Jalen gives him fits because of that, and it's fun to watch because he's competitive. Dante's competitive. You know, Jeremy Parnell, his head is spinning. Josh Wells, Luke Jogle, when they see Dante Fowler line up, it's like the opposite of looking at Jalen Ramsey when he's lined up on a wide receiver. They don't know how to even line up because they're like, oh, my God, what's coming? Is it power? Is it speed? Is it the shake? They don't know. And those are the players that, as pass rushers and as just athletes overall, the ones that you go, he's got something special.
Blake Bortles, going into his third year, has been a notoriously bad practice player in his first couple seasons here. But Dave Caldwell talked about it a little bit with you last Thursday night on the Gus Bradley show, that Blake has had the best start to any camp since he's been here during this week. Have you seen that out in the field too?
Well, it's not that hard if you just compare it to the first year, because his first year's camp was so bad.
Right.
But last year I thought camp he was really good. And by the way, cheap plug, Dave Caldwell, the general manager, will be joining me tonight to sit in for Gus Bradley during the Gus Bradley show, because Gus has walked through tonight, 6 o'clock. And but I think the one thing that really noticed that I've noticed about Blake, you notice how lean he is. I mean, he looks like he is in great shape. Before, you know, he looked like a big quarterback, and now he looks like a lean in shape quarterback. You know, and that's a credit to him. You know, he works hard. He's taken every step that he can, not only in this building, but when he's away from this building, to try to improve his play. His leadership, I think, is apparent because he can talk to all players, and it doesn't matter what background the player has. And I think that's special when you got a guy who can lead from that position that can reach everybody. So, you know, and when you go back and you look at Tuesday's practice, which was not a great practice, and Gus called it short and all that, at some point, you need a guy like Blake Bortles to be the one to say something in practice. You need a guy like Malik Jackson, although it's still early for him because he's on a new team. You need guys to step up and say, hey, guys, this isn't our standard, and this isn't the way that we practice. Let's get it going. A little disappointing to not see that, but still early in the phase of this team kind of establishing where they are individually. But you want to see more of that as the camp and preseason kind of progresses to where more players take ownership. And I think that's a big step for this football team because they've been so young, so raw. They've changed the roster over, and Gus has had to be that core of leadership for this football team. At some point, the players need to start taking ownership and taking control a little bit more.
All right, as we get ready to wrap up here with you, a couple of quick things. One, I brought up last night your Tom Coughlin coffee story on my Sirius XM show because somebody made a reference to Coughlin probably had a bad cup of coffee that day. I said, I got a bad coffee story for Tom Coughlin. But also, listening to you guys, I think it was last Thursday, when you and Tony were talking about your first training camps and you know, just training camps in the Coughlin era, and how grueling they were. And Tony said specifically, when you went to one-a-days, it was almost like you're on vacation, you know, because coming off two-a-days, you gave your body a chance to recuperate. Now you see the way training camp is. They're in pads for a couple days. Vets are getting days off. Now they're in shorts today. I mean, it's just, I guess, the way the game has changed, and with the money that's in it, you just don't want to get these guys. You got to walk the line between getting them ready and not getting them hurt before the season starts.
Yeah, and I think this has been a long time coming. You know, a lot of the older guys think it's their right to sit there and go, well, you know, back when I played, we used to really play football. You know, we had two-a-days and all. Hey, look. I was a proponent of this style of training camp back when I was a player just because I felt like when you got through training camp, if you came out a little below where you started physically, you felt like it was a win. And I'm talking health-wise and conditioning-wise, you were always a little bit better. But health-wise. And I think the way that it's structured now, like today, there are no pads today. It's good. You know, I mean, look, the body's only meant to withstand so much football. I mean, that's just the realities of it. It's like having car wrecks, you know, and every day you're going to another car wreck. And you don't allow anything to ever heal up. So I think it's good that the way they do it now. You know, and Tony, I think, brought up about how when you went to one of days, what you were talking about there. You know, when we did have 2 days, I mean, we had 2 days, it was full pads. And then we conditioned at the end of the afternoon practice every day. I mean, that's just what it was, you know, and you became almost robotic, you know, to where it wasn't so much trying to improve, although it was very hard and you almost became mentally tough because you had to focus on trying to get better at something because you were also fighting fatigue, mental and physical, to be able to get through a training camp that you had before. And I think the training camps of today are smart. It does have a little bit to do about the money, but it's more so about, I think, the realization of, in football, there is premier athletes and top-level athletes, and then everybody else is just what they are. They can be guys. I mean, so you want to be able to get to the season with all your top-level guys, and this is a way that teams are accomplishing that.
That's what Tony was saying. Jeff Loggeman, as Loggeman's Tuesdays will commence a week from next Tuesday back on Jaguars Today. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I wish I was here earlier because I would have sparred with Tony a little bit. The comment about practices are better than games? Are you kidding me?
No. The comment about the
inter-squad
practice.
Tampa,
yes.
Hell no. Because you know what? What happens on game day and what happens in practice, are, and I'm telling you, are two totally different things. There is a completely different level of psychological being that has to happen on game day. The lights get bright, the intensity goes up, the scrutiny goes up, the pressure goes up. You can't evaluate that on inter-squad practice like you can on game day. Just wanted to drop that in because, I mean, to me, It's about Sundays, and that's what football is about. And that is the ultimate evaluation and the ultimate evaluation tool for Dave Caldwell and his staff and the coaching staff here in Jacksonville.
He wants to fight you now, Tony.
No. Like no, my days of fighting are long gone.
Don't worry, you can take either
one
of us.
We'll thumb wrestle. Come on.
All right,
pretty
there
easy.
You go.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. Log him in at Fat Tony, squaring off thumbs at high noon. All right, Jeff, good to talk to you, buddy. We'll catch up very soon. Jeff Logman, part of the Jaguars broadcast crew. You know him well, who he is. And he'll be back with us on a full-time basis throughout the season every Tuesday, starting a week from next Tuesday. So look forward to that coming up. Coming up next, though, this Dayton football, the Honda Drive around the NFL, more live from training camp here, including we'll hear from both coordinators of the Jags, Todd Wash and Greg Olson, coming up on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
Here we go, this Dayton football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. It's that season, the Chicago All-Star Game, filling up a little content on the program. 1961, the 28th NFL Chicago All-Star Game. The Philadelphia Eagles knocked off the Collegiate All-Stars 28-14. Green Bay skunking the All-Stars in 1967 on the same day, 27-0. Famous birthdays for this date. By the way, how did I miss Tom Brady yesterday? I missed Dante Fowler and Tom Brady.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems like, I don't know, something was going on in my head. 1949, John Riggins, born on this date. He of 11,000-plus rushing yards, 116 career touchdowns for John Riggins, and one memorable 4th-and-1 run against the Miami Dolphins in the Super Bowl. Hall of Fame inductee in 1992. Speaking of the Dolphins, born on this date in 1955, Bob Baumhauer turned 61 today, 5-time Pro Bowler, 1-time first-team All-Pro, member of the Killer Bees defense for the Dolphins. 6 starters, more than 6 guys had last names that began with B. Baumhauer, Bill Barnett, Lyle and Glenn Blackwood, Kim Bocamper, Charles Bowser, Doug Betters, and Bob Rudzinski, all members of that Killer Bees defense. Baumhauer's birthday today, and born on this date in 1964, Logman referenced him. Clyde Simmons, happy birthday to Clyde Simmons. Clyde Simmons is, what does that make him, 52 years young today, 15 years in the National Football League, Tony, including the 1996 and 97 seasons with your Jacksonville Jaguars, 2-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first-team All-Pro with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I believe the guy who told McManus, if I have the story straight, you're the Mike, go be the Mike. Yeah. Go be the Mike. And in other words, you are the middle linebacker now, just go and act like it and fulfill that role. A great story Tommy has told over the years. This Dayton football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry in town on Gate Parkway. If you need a family dentist or maybe some cosmetic work done, 620-9225. Custom fit mouth guards. The SomnaMed mouth guards will help you or a loved one stop snoring. You'll thank me later for this. Visit jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Navarro Bowman and the 49ers agreed to a 4-year contract extension, which will be added to the 3 years that Bowman had remaining on his previous contract. Sources told ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter that the 4-year extension is worth $44 million, 11 annually, including $20 million guaranteed. Bowman's knee injury cost him the entire 2014 season, but he bounced back pretty well last year to earn his fourth full team, first-team All-Pro honors. And Bowman said he wasn't even full strength in 2015, but he still led the NFL in tackles with 154. The Kansas City Chiefs and former LA Rams quarterback Nick Foles have agreed to terms on a contract, a 1-year deal with a team option for year number 2. So Foles and former Eagles head coach Andy Reid reunite in Kansas City. And Ravens kicker Justin Tucker recently hit a 69-yard field goal in practice, and Tucker was on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network today and was asked, what is the longest field goal you think you could hit?
I mean, if conditions are prime, like last season, we opened up in Denver, the weather was warm, the field was nice, and you're up in altitude, so the ball just carries. In pregame, I think I hit the crossbar from 85. So if the situation is just prime, then maybe 84 and a half yards.
What?
So you're
84 and a half yards is what Justin Tucker thinks he could hit a field
goal.
I think that is outrageous and an absolute lie.
Well, when they warm up, there's no one that to block it so they can kick it at that lower trajectory.
Still, I don't care what trajectory you're kicking a football at, 85 yards.
But in mile-high altitude, man, look, we're always talking about the Pro Bowl stinks, right? All this, let's do some kind of skills competition. I want to see this one, right? I want to see guys try to kick a field goal. Now, maybe it would help if they played the Pro Bowl in Denver. Of course, it's probably snowy
right
at that time of year. But you know what I'm saying? I'd love to see these guys just let it rip. Of course, somebody would then, I'm sure, rip the groin muscle off the bone, a la Fred Taylor, and that would put a quick end to that.
Right? Like, I wonder, like, looking back at last year, there were a handful of kickoffs I can remember that would have gone through the goalposts, right? Like, there's a handful of that, but that's kicking it off a tee. Again, there's no rush on that kind of thing, and you're talking about adding another 10 yards.
And you get a run up
that.
On that, too.
Right. I mean, that's
but again,
crazy.
But 10 yards in the mile high atmosphere, maybe not.
I guess.
You know, might be able to pull that out. I don't know.
85.
By the way, according to Jaguars Twitter, Tyler was updating us, mostly from Mike DiRocco, I believe, this morning. 11-on-11 drill started this way. Blake threw a pick six to Telvin Smith on play one.
Nice.
Chad Henne threw a pick on the next play to Dwayne Grotz, and then I believe it was a false start on play number three. So the defense is doing well, Tony.
The offense is doing terrible.
At the start of practice today, speaking of offense. Are we done with that, by the way, Tyler? Or you have more to go?
I got one more.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
Actually, I got one more. Actually, I did find a video of a Texas kicker. Texas Longhorn kicker Nick Rose hit an 80-yarder in practice. And there is video of it, so it does seem like it could be possible if Justin Tucker wants to go 84.5.
Yeah, in Denver, you could, yeah. All right.
Last but certainly not least, the hype for the Jaguars is real, guys, and it even reached Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump last night.
Jacksonville, great place. How's your football team going to be? Good, good. I hear good things.
Well, here's good things.
He's been listening to Jaguars today, obviously, as every presidential candidate should, no matter what party.
Their favorite football team is whatever city they're in.
By the way, I hear Jill Stein is a big fan of the Midday Chalk. I don't know what
I don't know
what that has to do with anything. I'm just saying, and we're glad for it. We'll take all the listeners we can get of any political persuasion. We're done now, right?
We're done.
We're finally done with that. We mentioned the one-on-one battle yesterday that was going on between Allen Robinson and Prince Amukamara as they went beyond the whistle in terms of they wanted to line up, get one more rep head-to-head. It was basically a one-on-one situation. Robinson at about the 10-yard line put a double move on Prince and scored what would have been an easy touchdown on him and kind of handed the ball to him on the way off the field. And Prince decided, let me just drop kick this thing. I don't want this thing anywhere near me. And despite the fact that we tried in the locker room, couldn't get these guys stirred up to create a real level of animosity. But Amanda Borges, Jaguar reporter for 1010XL, did catch up with both of them. Here's her brief conversation with Prince Amukamara in the locker room yesterday.
Prince, you and Allen Robinson have been matched up quite a bit during training camp. Getting a little chippy out there. What have you seen from him?
It hasn't been chippy. It's just been a great battle. Allen's a great receiver. I feel like he's taken it up a notch this season from what I've watched of him on film. And it's just been fun. Coach Gus and all the coaches have been trying to establish a culture of competition, and I think everyone is rising to the occasion in that aspect.
This is your first training camp going up against this offense. What have you seen so far?
It's very explosive offense. Coach Olio is doing a great job with giving Blake and the guys the right calls. The offense seems very comfortable, and it's just very explosive. And it seems like they're going to go deep a lot, and then sometimes they do something different. So it's they keep you on your toes.
Who's been the loudest in the DB room so far during training camp?
I would have to say Devon House has been probably one of the loudest guys.
A lot of players on offense are talking about Jalen Ramsey. What have you seen from him?
Everyone knows there's no lie that he's a freakish athlete, and I feel like he's been doing great of what's been asked of him, and that's playing inside at a nickel and outside at corner. And for a rookie, all that load of information and how he's handling it and not getting a lot of mental errors, which is missed assignments or misplays. He hasn't been getting a lot of those, so it just shows the maturity of him as a rookie and how he's grown pretty fast.
Coming to a new team, what's something you want to accomplish during training camp?
Just prove the GM, the coaches, right, that they didn't make a mistake and wanted me to come here. So, and I think as long as I do that, everything will take care of itself.
Prince Amukamara's kind of got like the reputation of being the guy you'd want as your next door neighbor, right? One of the really nice guys in the National Football League. Coach Olio Tony.
Oh my God! Like,
is that a Freudian slip for what he's putting in his hair to slick it back?
I don't know. But Tyler quickly needs to turn, like, take that and just dub it over the O-E-O-E-O-E-O. Like, just have Prince over and over saying Oleo would be absolutely fantastic. I did, you know, I was in the locker room yesterday after practice and talking to a couple different guys, but I almost went up to Allen Robinson again trying to stir things up after practice yesterday and saying, I just talked to Prince. He said, now you're just another member of his court. Like, I almost went up to him and said something like that just to see if I could get those two guys going, but decided not to.
No, and quickly Prince put the tamp down
chippy.
On that. Hey, Chippy out there. Come on. Allen Robinson, Amanda, got a few words in with him as well yesterday.
All right, what's the deal? You and Amukamara got beef or what?
Nah, you know, it's just a little friendly competition. You know, he's a funny dude, you know, so me and him go at it all the time, you know, in the locker room, you know, in meetings, on the field, you know, but it's just fun competition, you know, just iron on iron each other, getting each other better.
How many times have you beat him in training camp so far? Are you keeping score?
No, I'm not keeping score. I'm trying to beat him every time I line up, you know, so that's the goal.
Aside from Amukamara, who have you seen in the secondary that's really impressed you so far?
Jalen. You know, I mean, just as far as Jalen coming from college out here, you know, just to see such the development of a player so early in camp, you know, each and every day, seeing how better he's got, you know, he's really going to be a big player for us.
A lot of guys on offense are talking about how great this defense is and how challenging it's been. Have you noticed that?
Oh, for sure. You know, I mean, what else going against the secondary? You know, I mean, like I said before, you know, I think it's the best secondary in the AFC South. You know, so us being able to get this work in against them each and every week, you know, only gets us better.
All right, there you go. A little bit from Allen Robinson.
It's not a playoff guarantee, but best in the AFC South is something.
I'll take that. Yeah, you guess what? If you're the best in the AFC South, you're going to playoffs, mm-hmm. right? At least best in terms of record. That's a simple one even I can figure out. All right, coming back, we'll hear from Todd Wash. We'll hear from Coach Oleo as well after practice yesterday. He met
Oleo,
with the media.
Oleo.
So let's listen in on what the two coordinators have to say about their charges through 1 week of training camp. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We're live at the Florida Blue practice facility just outside Everbank Field. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Oleo.
That's one alternative. You can go that way, right? Tarzan
yeah.
Boy, I think, is the one you're
Oleo.
Thinking of. Just drop him in there from time to time. It's the second musical Prince. There's an opening right now.
I want like three different versions of it for tomorrow, Tyler.
Tyler.
And I want the whole chorus. I want the whole Oleo, Oleo, Oleo.
You've been given your assignment, Tyler. There you go. Let's hear a little bit from Coach Oleo. I mean, he's not going to escape this as far as you're concerned. Anyway, I love it. They do call him Coach Ole. One more. Come on. Come on, Prince. Greg Olson.
Coach Oleo.
There he is. Jaguars offensive coordinator. Talking yesterday about what's going on with this team. Is this right? The right side of the offensive line, or was he asked about the left side of the offensive line?
He asked about the right.
I guess he was talking about Parnell and Linder and those guys. All right, that's how we started things off at yesterday's post-practice press conference, being asked, Greg Olson, not about the left side competition, but how are things progressing on the right side of the offensive line?
Oh, we're real excited. You know, that's the one thing about certainly there's still competition going on every position on the field, but the right side with Con Parnell and obviously with Linder in there, there's great communication, and that's a helpful part when you had a chance to play next to somebody, and you can do that over time, and you have some continuity throughout the offensive line. It's really helpful for those guys up front, and I think the relationship between Jeremy Parnell and AJ Can has been very, very good.
Did you notice that yesterday when Con Can in the same –
Yeah, when the general manager can't get the name right.
Right. Dave Caldwell calls him AJ Con, and then I thought, is it a whole coaching staff thing with this or what? But
they just don't know what to do with it.
It's went the other way.
Coach Oleo talking yesterday after practice.
Coach Oleo.
Talking about the left side of the offensive line. Kelvin Beachum giving the day off yesterday. He's off again today here at Jaguars training camp practice. But he was asked about the new potential left tackle for this team.
Yeah, I think it'll continue to be an evaluation process, and certainly we'll do what's best in terms of the health of Beachum right now, and he got a little bit sore, so we had him out today, but he has had some work at both guard and tackle, and Luke has done the same, so we'll continue to evaluate that when Beachum gets a chance to come back out and practice again.
Color us easily amused, by the way, with Coach Oleo audio here.
Coach Oleo.
talked briefly yesterday about the number 15 who has just looked every bit the Pro Bowl wide receiver, Allen Robinson.
He's playing very well. Again, we thought he took great strides last year into his second season, and we've continued to see the improvement here into his third season. So we're happy with where he's at as well.
It was also the first time that we've had an opportunity to talk to either of the coaches. Todd Walsh talked before practice, but Greg Olsen talking after practice about Gus Bradley on Tuesday stopping everything and pulling everybody together. So he was asked about Gus getting animated after Tuesday's training camp practice.
Certainly there'll be ups and downs. You want to eliminate the downs as best you can throughout training camp. And I think he felt it was a flat practice overall. So the players recognized it. I think he had a chance to speak with a number of the players afterwards, and they recognized that as well. With this group being together and a number of returning players, I think we've been able to count on a lot of our leaders to handle some of those issues in the locker room, and I think our guys are doing a good job with that as well.
All right. As Jeff Logman pointed out, the most important thing for this football team and is going to be the development of Blake Bortles. Regardless of, hey, look, we're happy to hear all these other guys are coming along well, but it's, you know, Blake Bortles needs to go from big step forward last year to another big step forward and really start to stabilize where he can be a more efficient guy and stay in that range of a high-end producer really maybe for the next decade. And off to a good start in training camp so far, Greg Olsen, Coach Olio, on Blake Bortles and if he thinks he looks more comfortable right now.
You could ask him. I just think the entire comfort level of being able to call a play and visualize the minute it comes in, certainly being able to call a play in the huddle is part of the process. Having to know what everybody on the offensive side of the ball is doing is part of the process. Then having to understand everyone on the defensive side of the ball is part of the process. The visualization from when the play comes in and to see the play in his mind and to understand exactly where everybody is and exactly what his responsibility is to ensure that the play is successful, I think that's where he's getting. He's not there yet. When he has a play called in, he has to have that mental picture of what that play looks like and what responsibilities he has to make sure that the play is successful. So I think it's coming along, but it's still a process. But he's much more comfortable, much more confident right now.
Continuing to talk about his quarterback, Blake Bortles, he was asked about Blake and his freedom that he's been given right now at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, knowing what he does well, but allowing him a little bit more freedom, I guess, we never say your job is not to get us into the best play. Your job is to make sure that we're out of bad plays, take us out of bad plays. And in order to do that, you've got to understand not only just the protection scheme part of it in the passing game, but also in the run game and understanding fronts and coverages and blitzes into the run game and what runs are well into what front. So I think just his overall knowledge certainly will help us and help him in his development.
More quarterbacking 301 than 101 right now, he's talking about with Blake Bortles. And then finally, Greg Olsen saved a little praise for longtime Jaguars tight end Mercedes Lewis.
You know, I was here, again, 4 years ago and I'm with Chad Henne and had mentioned, we both mentioned yesterday, I think he's having his best camp since I've known him. He looks more flexible, he's strong, he's made some acrobatic catches. Here, he just seems to be a more consistent player right now, and certainly he's more comfortable in the system, but he's having a very good camp.
Consistent's the key word there,
yeah,
right?
Mercedes is the type of athlete that he always looks good this time of year. I mean, it's hard not to be impressed by the size-speed combination of a guy like Mercedes Lewis, and some years that's added up to a lot of production on the field, and some years there's been some disappointment, but it's, again, another camp where Mercedes is coming in and looks the part, and we'll see exactly how he fits into the role he has here this year.
Well, you know, every couple games, Tony, he flashes and he puts a big play up, and you're like, damn, why can't you get that out of him? I'm not saying every snap, but, you know, get a few of those every game out of him because you know he's capable at the top end of making some ridiculously acrobatic catches and moves, but the consistency, the drop in the easy passes has always plagued him here in Jackson. Let's hope that when he does get those opportunities, because there won't be as many now with all these offensive weapons at Blake Bortles' disposal, he takes advantage of them. Going to the other side of the football, we go from Coach Olio to the coach most likely to win a Mike Dempsey lookalike contest. That would be Todd Walsh, right? Robert Salo, Jags linebackers coach, questioned whether or not we were related. I don't know if we look that much alike, but nevertheless, Todd Walsh getting his first crack at being an NFL level defensive coordinator, was asked about his rookie linebacker Miles Jack, who got some first team run yesterday with Paul Posluszny getting the day off.
You know, he's starting to get a real good grasp of the defense and what we're asking him to do. You can see improvement each and every day that he goes out. And, you know, realistically, I think we're going out to practice six right now. So really he's got eight practices underneath his belt where everybody else has a lot more. So, but you do see improvement every day. If there is a mistake, he learns from it. So that's very encouraging.
Do you have to take it slower with a rookie linebacker?
No, we're not. Okay. We're going to force feed it to him. And, you know, he gets a lot of reps, as you can see. Today he'll be out there with our first unit. So it's going to be a good thing for him to get in front of some of the vets and show exactly what he can do.
And I think it was Brian Sexton yesterday who talked about the spirit, the football spirit that Miles Jack has. You know, you hear it when you heard him talk about his really, I think, genuine desire to be here in Jacksonville, Tony. I'm sure he didn't genuinely want to get picked in the second round.
No.
But I think he's very happy to be here, and he just does exude that. In the brief times we've gotten a chance to sit down with him, that he's very smart. He's got a great personality. He just loves the game. He wants to do everything the right way. And man, when you got a guy with that much talent who has all those, you know, what do you call them?
Attributes.
Intangibles. Intangibles. Thank you, Tyler Devitt. That's the word I was looking for. That could be a pretty special thing.
No doubt about it, and it sounds like here in the last couple days that it's kind of picked up the speed a little bit. Miles Jack has the last couple days out here at training camp. Again, they start playing preseason football next Thursday, so it'll be on full display at full NFL speed here in just a week for all these young guys, including third-round pick Yannick Ngakoue, who's been talked about a ton throughout the offseason and into the first week of training camp. His defensive coordinator, Todd Wash, commented on the third-round pick Yannick Ngakoue yesterday.
I hope so. Let's say he gets 700 and some rushes this year. You know, you're not going to beat a guy 700 times. That'd be a hell of a sack record, you know. But so you got to be able to deal with, you know, not success at times. But he expects himself every time he lines up something good to happen. And that's the expectations we have for him. So with that attitude that he has, we knew that in the draft process, the mental makeup of the young man, and we're very excited he is the way he is.
You know, Tony, thinking about this, preseason games, we know how they are, typically. You get in the first one, you get out of the first quarter, and it's not that exciting. Well, in the recent years, the roster hasn't been good enough to be excited about guys coming off the bench. Now you're going to have guys like Miles Jack and Yannick Ngakoue playing significant minutes in these preseason games, and it is something I think a lot of Jaguar fans will be a little bit more glued to the games for. So that's coming up next Thursday. Todd Wash talking yesterday. This is before yesterday's practice, by the way. Asked about what this defense needs to look like in his mind to be considered a good NFL defense.
I think our players, you know, we talk in our room about what we call TED. You know, we want to have unbelievable toughness as a defense, not only physically but mentally. And, you know, our effort, we want that obviously to be unmatched. You know, we talk about swarming to the football. And then the discipline side of things. You know, if we execute the package, if we execute the assignment execution, we're going to be playing well. You know, so those three things, and there's obviously subcategories within those, but that's kind of what we're basing our defense on, is toughness, effort, and discipline.
Strong safety throughout the offseason talked about as maybe one of the biggest battles coming into this camp. It hasn't been talked about a whole bunch here in the first week. Todd Wash was asked about what everyone is presuming right now to be the starting strong safety for this football team, at least as of this moment, Jonathan Cyprian going into his fourth year and how he's adapting to that role.
I think it's a great role for him. You know, obviously it helps having Tashaun in the hole, but, you know, you can see Sip really start to grasp what we're asking for him. The closer he gets to the ball, the better he gets. And he's doing a great job of accepting his role, knowing what his role is, and you can see some flashes of some really, really good things.
All right, well, what about the other guy? Let's not presume yet. It's Jonathan Cyprian. I'm not saying you were doing that. I know you're laying out the case. James Sample, what about his growth?
I think we have Sip's playing well, and James is really starting to play well. The same thing, you know, he didn't get a lot of reps and that kind of stuff over the last year and a half or so. But you see the flashes of what we thought. You know, once again, him and Sip are very good box safeties, and we're excited about both of them. It's a good competition, and I think the competition with Simp and Samp is obviously not against each other. There's no competition between the two. It's a competition for them to execute to play the highest of their abilities. You know, so it's both of them are getting better, and that's what you want out of competition.
All right, let me just call BS on this whole lineup. I'm sorry, Tony. You're trying to be the best broadcaster. I'm trying to be the best broadcaster. If there's only one spot on this show, we are competing with each other yes. for that spot. Fortunately, there's not, and there's room for both of us. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, look, I get it, what you're trying to say. If you strive to be the best you can be, you put that forward and let the chips fall where they may. You can't control what the other guy does, but you're hoping the best you is better than the best of the other guy.
No doubt about it. And Todd Wash, a couple more comments from him before practice yesterday, was also asked about Malik Jackson. Reports when he came in for training camp last week that he had lost a bunch of weight, that the team had asked him to do that between the offseason and getting ready for training camp, and he was asked about that yesterday.
Yeah, you know, before he left at a break, we sat down, we talked, and he was under the impression that he needed to gain weight. You know, so there was a miscommunication on my part to him early on when he got here. So we said, no, we want you to lose some weight. You know, you're going to have to play a lot, first, second, and third down. And he went out and worked his tail off. So conversation that we had at the end of the OTAs, he, you know, addressed it and took care of it.
I was under a similar impression when I came to 1010XL that I was to gain weight. And now I finally just realized a few weeks ago I was supposed to go in the other direction. And then
miscommunication
finally,
happened.
Yeah, just a miscommunication, Tyler. We got it all straightened out, and now I'm starving myself. And finally, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, Dante Fowler asking Todd Wash an interesting question in the team meeting room.
He actually had a question today in meetings about what happens, how do I slow down and not hit people, which is a good thing. We love the energy and the effort that he plays with. And, you know, we're not limiting him at all right now. He goes out, he's physical and all that stuff. We got to get him to just slow down and play within himself. He tries to do too much at times. Like I say, he's a little bit of a bull in a china closet at times. Once again, that's the type of mental makeup we want on defense.
Dante's trying to make up for a year away from the game, man. You can't do it all in one snap. I get him. I love, man, I tell you, I just, everything you see and hear and watch about Dante Fowler Jr. has just been everything you'd hope to have heard. I don't know how he could have looked any better to this point. Again, it's off season. We're not saying Dante Fowler's going out and getting 15 sacks this year.
No.
But in terms of, you know, what you worry about sometimes when you see a guy practice is Jack Del Rio said this to me a few years ago. Said, you know, every once in a while you get that training camp when you know, like, wow, we really overdrafted this guy. Or, wow, we just completely whiffed on this guy. It just didn't show up on the practice field. Dante Fowler Jr., I think, has exceeded the expectations I had for him right now, considering he's still coming off that torn ACL from last year. So let's hope he can continue on that path. Today's question of the day, maybe Dante Fowler Jr. will end up being the answer for a lot of people. We asked you, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, who is the most physically intimidating player currently on the Jaguars roster? Who's going to be the physical tone setter for this football team this year? We'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight. Check in on the text line as well, driven by Duval Ford at 641-1010 if you want to weigh in there. Still time to do it. You can tweet your replies in the Jaguars Today Facebook page, open for business as always. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's a duo. It's not a one-man show. Darn it. As we continue along live from Training Camp 2016 on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
We are in day 7 of Jaguars Training Camp, day 3 of full pads, but it's just another day of players recognizing the greatness from rookie Jalen Ramsey, this time from cornerback Prince Amukamara.
Everyone knows there's no lie that he's a freakish athlete. I feel like he's been doing great of what's been asked of him, and that's playing inside at a nickel and outside at corner.
On the offensive side of the ball, Allen Robinson received praise from offensive coordinator Greg Olsen.
He's playing very well. Again, we thought he took great strides last year into his second season, and we've continued to see the improvement here into his third season. So we're happy with where he's at as well.
Now, practice is open to the public, so make sure to get on out there. Get your free ticket at jaguars.com/training camp practices. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Today. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we continue along here on Jaguars Today. Midday Chalk at the top of the hour with T-Wig and Baloo and Hacker and Joe C. All those guys, saw a bunch of them out here at practice once again this morning. So they'll have their take on what's going on with the Jags and a lot more from around the world of sports. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Let's check in on the text line. Driven by Duval Ford, question of the day is, which Jaguar is the most physically intimidating player on the roster? We got a number of answers in a variety of ways. Some on the text line include Jonathan Cyprian, hashtag Sip Squad. Someone said, I was at practice on Sunday. The answer is easy, Parnell and Shatley. Shatley is a big, strong dude.
Yes, he is.
And that's what we're talking about, physically intimidating, not necessarily the best player. Roy Miller says another has to be the Jags' most physical tone setter this year. He's a tough object to move, and he's got a little nasty streak, too. A vote for Dante Fowler as well. We're talking about, you know, the limited number of padded or practices and things like that and how times have changed. Somebody pointed out, you remember, there are only a limited number available. Be smart with them. We understand that. We're talking just more in the general sense of how it got to this point, you know, where it went, where it came from. We understand the Jags are trying to stay within the parameters of what you're allowed to do.
And I'm fine with it. Like, my questions, and when we had Ozier on, again, I go back to, I don't know why it took this long in the NFL for some of these things to come in. I guess the answer would be a weak players union. But I am not upset about the limitations they put on these guys having to be in pads.
A couple more here, Tony. What's the word on Bjorn Werner? Hasn't heard his name come up during camp. Hasn't done anything to distinguish himself from our perspective.
Again, I've seen, no.
We don't see him much, but nothing. You know, coaches, like we mentioned Jordan Shipp earlier, right? Gus, unprompted, brought him up the other day as a guy who's really excelling right now as a leader on special teams and really embracing that role. Just so there are opportunities for guys who aren't the frontline players.
Trip?
Did I say Ship?
I think you said Ship.
If I said Ship, I meant Trip.
Yeah.
But I do that all the time. But Jordan Tripp, did I say Ship? Maybe I
did.
Doesn't matter. Jordan Tripp brought him up in the context of, here's a guy who's not a frontline superstar, but he's really getting it and he's showing us some things out here. Sheldon Day, not expected to start for this football team, has, you know, been brought up unprompted. Haven't heard that kind of reaction on Bjorn to this point. Also, somebody asked, which player do they ask to lose weight? Of course, that was Malik. They're talking about, somebody also said, it looks like Sendarek Mark got in a fight with an offensive tackle yesterday based on the Jags Wired content on the team website. Did we hear anything about it? No, but which makes me think that it was just a little skirmish, which of the type which pop up a lot.
Yeah, they happen.
Regular season practices, they happen. But
yeah,
particularly in training camp when you've got, if you've got a guy you're going up against who's fighting for a starting spot or a spot on the roster, period. Let's take a look at Twitter. Reaction to the fan feedback spotlight, Tony, which player is the most physically intimidating on the current roster?
From Justin, we got Malik Jackson, but if we're going for attitude, you tell us. 1010 knows better than anyone. We'll give our answers here in just a moment. From Johnny, Puzz's neck screams back off. From Chris, wasn't until I saw him at practice the other day, but Dante is a tank. From Duval Doom, Parnell by a mile. From Chad, is there a more physically intimidating player than Malik Jackson? From Lucas, Malik Jackson. From Brian, Miles Jack, sheer physique, thick and quick. But if you include attitude, it's Roy Miller. From Jason, Parnell. From Jay, we got in quotation marks, Jeremy Parnell. Man just looks mean. From Richard, Jason Myers, most intimidating scowl after a missed point I've ever seen. From Black Dog, the beginning of the dynasty, Dante Fowler Jr., hashtag the new LT. From Stoff, Jeremy Parnell. So good stuff there.
Yeah, Parnell's certainly a candidate for that. He's, as he told us in his first interview here on 1010XL, something to the effect of he plays, he's got that little bit of a nasty prick attitude in him, which you love as an offensive lineman. To me, right now, I think it's going to be over the course of the year, by the end of the year, we're going to say that Dante Fowler is the tone setter for this team because it's much like, I don't know if it was Ozier or Logman pointed out, no matter who's lining up across from right now, you can see it like they're like, I think it was Logs, how do I deal with this? What is coming? Is it power? Is it speed? Is it the stutter step move? What am I going to get out of this guy? And Tony, he plays with such leverage, and he gets so low under those offensive linemen's pads, and he is stones guys. I have not seen anyone really push him back yet. And I'm sure it's happened, but you know, you don't notice it. And you see plenty of instances where he's just physically ragdolling guys on the field right now.
No, I think all those answers are good. A guy that I didn't see mentioned that I would add to the list is Jared Odrick. That dude is a tank. He is a big, quick, physical guy. Every time I'm around him, I marvel at the size of a lot of these guys, but there are guys that are big, and then there are guys that are big. And Odrick feels like one of those guys to me that is just a big, big human being.
Got some votes in for Paul Posluszny on here as well. Mercedes Lewis, that dude is just farm strong, said somebody on Facebook. Mercedes is a big dude now, man. You stand next to Mercedes and you're like, man, that is a big guy. But I don't think the most physically intimidating guy. One of the more physically intimidating tight ends maybe in the National Football League. At least it's kind of the reputation he's built up as being a good point of attack player. And as you heard Coach Olio, Greg Olson, say earlier that he's having a terrific camp. The best since he's known him, at least since his first time through here. And Chad Henne agreed with that over that same period of time, the best he's seen Mercedes look in camp. And, hey, you know what? Competition hopefully bringing out the best in everybody in that regard. We're just about out of here for today. It looks like everybody's queuing up to get in their autograph spots for the players when they come off the field. Tomorrow, Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times-Union will sit in with us for the full show. We'll be back in the 1010XL World Headquarters studios as we get you ready for the scrimmage slash glorified practice tomorrow, whatever you want to call it. It's not about as much about the scrimmage as it is a chance for Jaguar fandom to come together and celebrate Jaguar fandom and be there and just kind of pre-gaming the season, right, in a sense, and just priming the pump and, hanging out, tailgating with your buddies and taking in the scene and being in Everbank, that one extra opportunity. By the way, my kid, speaking of Everbank, I'm thinking of what happened last week. Maybe the seven, I think there's seven worst words right now in the English language. Do you know what Pokemon Go is? He asked me that this morning. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me, man. I thought I had escaped this whole thing. He goes, mommy let me download it.
Yes.
I said, does your mom know what it is that it's going to cause you to walk out in traffic and all these different things? He goes, oh, yeah, she knows. Great, that's perfect. That is absolutely perfect.
The app does warn you. Every time you turn it on, it's like, not play while you're driving and pay attention to traffic.
My kid does not have a phone, smart or otherwise, but I guess he's on his iPad Mini. He's got an iPad Mini is glued to the palm of his hand. And I don't know where he thinks he's going to be going hunting down Pokemon, but did not want to hear.
They'll be at the house.
Did not want to hear that combination of words. Will they be at the house?
Yeah, you'll probably have rats in your house. You don't even know about it.
Man, I don't need any rats in my house, Pokemon or otherwise. Thank you very much. But apparently I'm getting sucked down this rabbit hole right now. Thanks a lot, world, for creating this. What did you say? It's the biggest, other than Facebook and Twitter. It's bigger than Facebook and Twitter right now,
right? The usage rate is higher for Pokemon Go than it is on Facebook and Twitter among mobile app users. The only two apps that are being used more are Candy Crush and that Game of War game that you see Arnold talking about on TV.
One of those games where if you don't constantly guard your barracks, they're going to destroy you.
Yeah.
Seems fun.
But 75 million downloads. It's being played on an average of 33 minutes a day by those 75 million people. So 42 million play hours a day of Pokemon Go right now.
Yeah, that thus concludes the get off my lawn portion of Jaguars today. Kids, your Gran Torino edition. All right, that'll do it for us today. Thanks to John Osier from Jaguars.com. Thanks to Jeff Loggeman for stopping by again. A week from next Tuesday, Logs back with us on a full-time basis on Tuesdays throughout the football season. So look forward to that as we'll be breaking down the film with the professor on a weekly basis. And we got to hear from Todd Wash and Greg Olson today. Thanks, everybody out there, for listening and tweeting, texting, Facebooking, whatever you do to interact with the show. And once again, really a special thank you to everybody who takes the time when they come out here, for the people who have come by to tell us they love listening to the show, they listen daily, all these wonderful things. Very nice to hear.
Absolutely.
We're doing it for you. We want to be the show of the Jaguar fans and a place where you can congregate on a daily basis. So we appreciate hearing that. And that's great job is what it is. All right, that'll do it for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, and for Coach Olio. I am Mike Dempsey signing off for Jaguars today. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Sandwiches and Subs. And Dandy, so much more right now than sandwiches and subs. They've got the breakfast sliders. They've got the sandwich wraps. They've got light options for you. They've got options for every palate. I love the tuna salad. I've loved it for years. But the three-meat trio, you can't go wrong there. The classic Cuban, you can't go wrong there. So many different varieties, chicken salad, you name it, they've got it all. And it's always fresh. It's always delicious. Bread baked here locally right in Jacksonville. Dandy uses quality ingredients from only the top companies out there, and they're able to deliver it to you fresh and at an affordable price. Just head to your local Kangaroo Express, head to your local Circle K, pop on in. Don't waste your lunch hour in the drive-thru. Find something you're going to like because they have something for everybody, and you're going to love the price on that, including $3 for a pair of breakfast sliders. Not going to find a better deal for food on the go anywhere in Jacksonville, folks. The Thompson family, they're the makers of Dandy. Support a local company like we do, and we tell you, go out and makers of Dandy. Do it today.
Jacksonville, great place. How's your football team going to be? Good, good. I hear good things.
You guys have a good day. Peace.